Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. When he went on his journey, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 2 bags, 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out to hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." The master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on a deposit with the banks, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have been abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Hi there. It's a great privilege to be able to share with you guys this morning. I'm very unused to speaking into a video to share stuff. So I'm hoping that you will bear with me and enjoy what I have to say. By now you would have met my daughter, and she would have introduced you to me and my family and my neighbourhood. But we're going to be looking at the parable of the talents this morning. But before we do, I do want to say a bit more about my neighbourhood. Words like deprivation indicators, super output area, low unemployment, free school meals are often used when talking about my neighbourhood. It's really interesting that I live in a place that people call the Welsh House Farm Estate. Now, less than a mile away is this place called Harborne, and people call it Harborne Village. And the way we name and talk about areas affects how we feel about them. And I want to challenge some of that language. So although I will be talking about my community this morning, I don't want you to think of it as a community that is rough or problematic or a tough place to live. Rather, I would like you to have this understanding of my community. Welsh House Farm is full of creativity, a richness of diversity, innovation, talents, skills, and much more. My neighbourhood is full of people who shine the presence of God, and it is an amazing place to live. So that is my introduction to my community and where I live. And now we will push on to the story, the parable of the talents. So I find this parable probably one of the most troubling parables for me in the New Testament. Why? Because it seems to go against so much of what Jesus has previously talked about when it comes to finance and money. Now, we know this parable is situated in Matthew and can be understood in the context of the end times. However, many people read this parable as a metaphor to how well we use the gifts that God has entrusted us with. Now, that may be an interesting reading. However, given the numerous occasions that Jesus has spoken against wealth, I find myself feeling uncomfortable when reading a parable that seems to penalise the poor. There's much in the New Testament that would tell us differently. How Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler: sell everything you have and give it to the poor, not take it, as in what happened in this parable. Be careful not to build wealth for yourself here on earth, for who can take it with them? We think about the rich man and Lazarus, who ended up the poor man eating at the table of Abraham. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. You know, this very much evokes the practice of the year of Jubilee. Blessed are the poor, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. So on and on and on, Jesus speaks into this situation of the poor and money. Yet here we have a narrative in this parable that seems to penalise the one who has little and rewards the one who has the most. So what can I do with this parable, particularly in my context, in a neighbourhood that struggles with financial debt and a lack of resources that comes its way? I mean, I want to look at this parable in the context then of our current economic systems and structures and how they do impact many people and many people that I know. I have so many conversations with the young people who just say, Simon, we can't get onto the housing ladder because you need to have wealth to be able to buy a house. And those that can buy a house, and even those that can buy two houses, you know, they will rent their spare house out. And for us, if we can afford to pay the rent, that little money that we have got again gets given to someone with more. Cash converters, it's a killer for many people in my community who need instant cash. So they have to cash them in their check and get a great massive wad of it disappears. And loan sharks who knock on our doors. And again, the interest rates that they have to pay back. It's mirroring this parable that those that have little, even what they do have, seems to be getting taken away and given to those that have much. It seems to me, reflecting on this parable, that the master is on the side of these systems and structures that I would argue are unjust. He seems to not really care about how the money is made. He just wants to have an increase in his investment. Now, a year and a half ago, there was a young man here in my community who I knew very well. He had grown up in our youth project. Now, a car pulls up and says to him, "Hey, I have an investment for you. Take this little bag and drop it off here and I'll make you some money." So he did. It was drugs. Now, he actually was very good at doing this. And he saw this as a way that he could use as a ladder to get out of poverty. So he started up his own little enterprise, running drugs from this place and running drugs to that place. He was very charismatic, he could manage the money very well, and could you even argue that he was using his God-given talents to make good on that initial investment? An argument broke out one day over the money. And on the very next street to where we live, he was stabbed and killed. So, if I place myself in this parable, what I want to say to the master is, what is the deal here? How is it that the one that had little got so harshly penalised? Why is this story here? Knowing what we know about Jesus and how he critiqued and criticised the wealth, why does he speak using money to talk about the coming of his kingdom? For me, this story is a model that I see in our structures and in our systems that are unjust. And as I said, penalize those that have not a lot. But what happens if we push back on this parable and challenge or change the behavior of the servant who had five talents? Imagine if the servant saw the injustice of being given five times more than his fellow servant, and rather than taking from him, instead, he gave him some of his own talents. So let me retell this parable from this perspective and how it might look like in Welsh House Farm. So a man felt that God was calling him to plant a church somewhere in Birmingham. He had a vision of a building full of people and a house of God worshippers praying to Jesus. He was fortunate enough to have lots of resources at his disposal. He was very articulate and charismatic, and he did not find it too difficult to attract a relatively large group of musicians, speakers, children's and youth workers to join him. They were all set to go, ready to purchase this purpose-built building in the middle of this beautiful urban village in the city. As he stood looking at the building that he was just about to buy, he came across this young girl smoking weed in the deserted entrance. "You going to join our church?" he said to the girl. "That's funny. I was going to ask you the same question," she replied. You see, it turns out that where this young girl lives, there is no church. People haven't got any money there. They can't afford to build one or resource one. They've been failed by the education system, and universal credit and debt are crushing them. They really know what it is to be a people with one talent, if that, where that little of what they have regularly gets taken away from them. The man of God, now he knew that he could have had a very successful church here in this urban village, but instead he chose to leave the place behind and set up home in this girl's neighbourhood. Of course, none of the worship leaders, teachers or youth pastors wanted to join him. And his church in that neighbourhood never really grew much, but he was able to share his life with a bunch of people that only had one talent, if that. And together, they all made a little bit more. I want to finish by reflecting on Jesus. You see, he gave up his position in the heavenly realms to share his life with a bunch of people that had little, that were considered poor or outcast, that the rest of the society did not want to know. He walked with them and talked with them, ate with them, laughed and cried with them. And eventually, he gave up everything by giving his life for them. Now, I don't know how you see yourselves, whether you believe that you are a person with one talent, or five, or ten. But as we reflect on this parable of the talents, I want to encourage you to read it in the context of the undeniable assertion that Jesus stands with the poor. He stands with those that have little. And he says to his church, if you want to truly follow me, then you need to take up your cross and walk with those that nobody else wants to. See, as for me, I want to stand with the servant that has the one talent. What about you? Thanks.